Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with co-hosts Cynthia Oliver and Deborah Tyler. And we're here this morning to share the word of the Lord. You know, and it's good news. It's good news. Regardless of what's going on around you, don't worry about it. God's got it, even though when it doesn't look like it. You've got to believe that. And if you ask yourself, what else are you going to believe? Who else are you going to believe? Can they do anything for you? No. So you just have to do Mark 11:22, have faith in God. That's it. And that is work within itself. And let's go to the switchboard this morning. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher, Deborah, and audience. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Good morning, Deborah.
Awesome. Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody?
Oh, man. Awesome. Doing good. Doing good. Can't complain. And don't need to complain. And it's not going to help anyway. It's just good to be alive and good to be here this morning on the air. Mothers and daughters, we welcome you for joining us this morning on at the round tables. We're going to have some interesting conversations today, you know, and it's definitely going to be dealing with, I think, a topic that most of us can relate to. We're having some feedback from somebody. I don't know what it is, if it's just feedback coming back. Okay. So, Deborah, what's your week this week?
Oh, my week was pretty good. I had a short week. I was off for 2 days because of the eye, but I had to go to urgent care. And like I said last Saturday, the eye was giving me trouble, but my mouth was good and my heart was good. How I said it last week, I can't remember. But in spite of, I've been moving on. I got one minute in my eye now. Got a couple more days with it. But, you know, when I got back to work, it was pretty busy playing catch up. But thank God Friday was right around the corner.
I know that's right. I'm glad your eyes are doing much better.
Thank you.
I came to that this week myself. It's just, you know, but you know what you say. Hey, walk through this and keep it moving. That's all you can do. Cynthia, how was your week?
My week was good. It was productive. You know, we're trying to get this certification program off the ground for the college. But it was good. I had a couple of little annoyances with my own health, and went to the doctor and had a CAT scan, and thank God they found nothing. It said that it appears to be normal, so they're sending me to a neurologist, and we're just going to follow through, and we're going to trust God and keep it moving.
Amen.
But it was definitely productive, keeping my husband's family uplifted this morning. They are having a memorial for his aunt, who passed away this past week. They're doing Zoom, and so, you know, Zoom has become the thing. You know, people just not traveling when they don't have to. And so they are doing a Zoom memorial this morning and this afternoon at 12. So all is well. So I just ask that you guys keep, audience, that you guys keep my family lifted up because no matter how you try to prepare for a loss of life, you can never really prepare for it. And so the greatest, the best thing to do is we have to just learn to accept God's will and just know that death is part of life and we keep it moving. But all is well on this end. My children are well. Brian is coming to see us July. Actually, when we're in South Florida, he'll be here, God's willing, on the 10th. We get back around the 11th, and I'll see my baby. So I'm excited.
Very good. Very good. Yes, and we do. We extend our love and to your family. I called Al yesterday, I think it was, and spoke to him. If it wasn't yesterday, it was Thursday, and spoke to him and told him if there's anything I could do, you know, I'm here. But it's one of those type things.
Really appreciate
that. There's nothing that you can do, you know. I mean, it's just, you just have to be there. Sometimes that's the moment when you have to be still and allow people to come if they need you, but just let them know you love them. So
absolutely, absolutely. That's the best. That's the best you can give to them. Just letting people know that you care and that you're there. You know, sometimes we want to give and do a whole lot of stuff, but all that oftentimes it's not even necessary. Just let them know that you love them. And you do that so frequently, and I appreciate you. You are always concerned. You always call. You always reach out to even to him, aside from me, to let him know that you're there and that you love him, and that I appreciate that.
Yeah. And also to his aunt, we just want to say something about her life. Her life, she lived a long life, and that's a blessing. If we all could live, how was she? Was she in her 90s?
She would have been 90 in August.
Okay, that's a nice long life. I mean, you know, God be the glory. You know,
yeah.
So we thank God for that. Yeah. You know, she lived such a long life and had a beautiful life. So, but even like that, that doesn't take away the fact that you missed the body. But what can you say? Most people are not making it to 80 and 90 and, you know what I'm saying, 60.
Yes,
sometimes.
Ma'am.
So, all right then. Well, this is good. We're going into this morning. I'll tell you a little bit about my week. My week has been interesting too. You know, my thing is that I think we just need to come together as a prayer warrior. I was thinking about that this morning. When God asks you to do something and you're on that journey, you know, it's just, it reminds you of being on the road. No, I don't want to use that example. It reminds you, just say, you know that you're on the path and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. But that doesn't mean that the enemy is not going to come after you. You got to be looking from side to side, in front to the back, up and down, because of the trickery. And that's what I say, you know, with birthing this baby, I have never, ever, ever had an assignment from God that has been as challenging as birthing this mother and daughter community. It has got to be a major, major turning point in the lives of women, mothers and daughters. And if you notice, the challenges among us as board members and as, you know, mothers and daughters on this journey to see this thing, to make sure this birth happens, the challenges. And I hated to even recognize it, even though I knew in my heart and, you know, around in my mind, I'm like, you know, you're kind of checking off. And so, you know, I noticed it this week, and then I'm thinking, okay, everybody is being tested. Are you going to stay? Are you going to last? Is this a part of it? You know, I don't know. I don't have the answers, you guys. But it just brings up a question like, huh, really? But the good news is, it's going to get done. Regardless, it's going to happen. I looked at Kim, and what happened? I said, Lord, I called on Jesus. I said, Jesus, we need you now. I mean more than ever to get this thing through. So I'm asking mothers and daughters out there, when you hear this, just all stand. We're going to stand in unison to be prayer warriors. Birth this community. Because in this community, it's got to be something awesome coming out of it. Because there wouldn't be that many attacks and so many challenges to get it up and going. But I'm not a quitter, so we're going to keep it going. And that was some of the, it wasn't necessarily some of the challenge for them, but just like with you guys, you know, I had to go in and get my eyes checked. And I thought, well, really? So it is so interesting of the dynamics. But that pulls us back, you guys, into our topic this morning. And the topic is mothers and daughters helping others regardless of their needs. Regardless of their needs. And that's what we want to talk about. So I'm going to go do my little piece, and then I'm going to come back and get your opinion and what the Lord has placed on your heart. Okay? Oh, and I'm sorry. Cynthia, you want to give us a prayer?
Yes, ma'am. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you as humble as we know how. We thank you, God, for choosing us for this journey and this task. But Father God, we know it's not easy. But guess what? We are trusting you in it all, no matter what happens. You always show up, and you always give us the provisions we need in order to do what it is that we have set out to do, because we plan it and we trust you, Father God. But Father God, I thank you for your precious promises this past week. I literally take that to heart. One morning in devotion, you said it's going to get better. So I am taking it to heart, Father God, that you mean that it is going to get better for each and every one of us that's on this board and that's taking part in this mother and daughter global movement. And Father God, we're just trusting you for it. We know that you're able. We know that we can trust you for it, because you are not a man that can lie, neither the Son of God who should lie, because he said whatever we ask you for in his name, that it shall come to pass. And so, Father God, we're holding on to that. We're holding on that you will answer our prayers. You will staff this ministry. You will give us health. You said our latter days will be greater than our former. And so, Father God, we're holding on to that, and we're trusting you for it, not only for the board, but we're trusting you for every mother and daughter that's part of this faith trust ministry and that's part of this movement. We know that you're good for it, because you said that it all belongs to you. So whatever belongs to you, and we're your children, guess what? We have an inheritance. So we are thanking you for our inheritance in advance. We thank you, Father God, for what you're getting ready to do within this next month, that you will make provision for this event. You will allow us to find a venue for it sooner than later. And we are just thanking you for it in advance. We thank you for Deborah. We thank you for Dr. Fletcher. We thank you even for myself and being willing to get up on Saturday morning to put the good news out there to mothers and daughters that you are who you say you are and that you will do what you say you'll do. And so with that, Father God, we say amen. Thank you.
Amen. I tell you, when you say, he said it's going to get better, something just leaped in my spirit, and I received that for myself. So, I mean, it touched me. So that blessed me. So mothers and daughters, I take that word. It's going to get better. God don't just say it to one person. When he say it, you know, you hear it, you can receive it too. So it's going to get better, and it is getting better as we speak. I'll be right back, ladies.
Amen.
All right. It's going to get better. I love it. Today we're talking to mothers and daughters, talking about mothers and daughters helping others regardless of their needs. And then you say to yourself, you know, and I've heard people say this to me, you know, Lord, why would you ask me to do this for them when I need this myself? God will ask you to give your very last to someone else. to see. And I don't think it's testing because he said he wouldn't test you. To see where your faith is. And it goes back to the prophet Elijah when he went to the widow woman and she was had just one little cup of flour, a little bit of oil, and what she wanted to do was make a cake. And she said she's going to get that little bread for her and her son, and then they were going to die. And he said to her, well, why don't you just make it and give it to the prophet? You know, make it and give me the first piece. And I guess you can imagine she looked at him like, man, I don't even know you. You just walked up here. You're asking me to give you my last piece of bread. I have a child. And you know how a mother is about her child. I have a child that's hungry. And I don't know you. But I'm going to give you my last biscuit. You got to think about that. My last biscuit. And he said yes. And I guess somewhere in her spirit, something must have leaped in her spirit and said, give it to him. Give it to him. It's going to be all right. Give it to him. You're going to be blessed. She had to have had those intro conversations. Because we don't make decisions without intro conversations. We go back and forth sometimes. Sometimes more than we need to. But we're wrestling, trying to figure out, should I say yes or should I say no? Or should I go or should I stay? Now, it's always a challenge when you're trying to make a decision. And I can only imagine traumatically how she felt within her own mind. Well, she probably came to the, you know what? It's not going to matter anyway. We're going to die. We can eat the bread and die, or we can bless somebody else and believe. She made it, gave it to him. And what happened? Her barrels overflowed so much that she had to go to neighbors and get containers. And just the oil was just pouring out, had enough oil to save her. And for years, just ran and ran and ran. Miraculously, it had more than enough. More than enough flour, more than enough oil. Can you imagine they were eating and healthy because she finally made a decision to help someone else in spite, regardless of her needs. And it's just not the lady in the Bible. There's so many mothers and daughters out here. We do it all the time. We do it all the time. Someone call upon you. And you may say to yourself, well, I really can't afford it. Something will get in your spirit and say, do it anyway. I've known times that I've gone and the Lord has said, pull over and buy that person a meal. Or send someone this. Or call someone and pray with them about that. And I mean, if I look at my own conditions, I'd be like, I could say that same thing. Well, Lord, you know, really? But then you're walking by faith and not by sight. It comes in with your belief. You got to believe him. You got to trust him. You got to trust him. He always comes back and he bless you with more than you gave. And you wonder sometimes, why is this? Because I believe in my case, and I can only speak for myself, preparation. It's preparation for where I want you, where I'm taking you, Bessie, where you're going to be, what I want you to do. But I got to know that you're ready. This is not an easy journey to go down. There's a lot of things that I need to know that you're ready and able to do. And even though the Holy Spirit is with you, it's your decisions. It's your will that's going to govern the experience that you get. Your will and your decision, if you're going to follow my instructions, I can't make it. But I want you to practice enough that you'll know it's me when I ask you to do it. And I have been one of those people that had nothing. And God said, give. Well, I will say, whatever it is that I had, and he said, give, I give. I don't worry about it. Because I eat. I've never missed a meal. I've been blessed to always have a nice place to live, always had a car to go where I need to go. My health has been good. I've always had the joy of the Lord in my heart. I am happy. I would say 98% of the time in my life. Very seldom I get to the point where I'm not happy. I that just doesn't work for me. If a thought come, I'm a hurry up and dismiss it. I'm hurry up and put it in a category, in a door, in a room, lock it up. I'm not going to just carry you around because then I can't think. I can't hear God. And I'll miss helping someone regardless of what I'm going through mentally, physically, or financially. God's not worried about that because he already prepared you. He knows that he's going to take care of you. He just wants you to know that. He wants you to know that you know that you know that you know that you know. He's going to take care of you. So how would you know that 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 you know God is going to take care of you if you have not gone through the test, if you have not taken that test? Because it's those things that you look back at and you say to yourself, wow, when I look back over my life, I can see God's hands. And God's hands showed up. When this happened, when I was in this position, God showed up. You know, he's always there. Our energy and our will and decisions that we're making, that we are unconsciously making, that keep the blessings from flowing. And anytime we get into a worry, anytime we spend time concentrating on a thing that's not good, that's why he said keep your mind on that which is good, a good report. Think about the fruits of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, happiness, kindness, forgiveness, self-control, gentleness. Think about those things. Think about the good things. Think about grace and mercy, which is upon you every day. Think about hope. Hope. Now faith is things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. So you got faith when you got hope. Hope is a part of faith. So think on those things. I hope to God to do this for me today. That's a part of your faith. Most people don't look at it like that. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped. So what are you hoping for? Because faith is that substance. Faith is that thing you hope
for. And faith is the evidence of the things that you haven't seen. So faith is the substance and faith is the evidence. And you're hoping for it. And that's what they say when it says faith is the only thing that moves God. That's why Jesus used to say to individuals that come up to him that wanted to be healed, or just when the Father tell him to heal somebody, you know, he's walking along, talking to the disciples, they're doing what they do, and then all of a sudden I can imagine the Father speaks to him and says, son, that man on the side of the road, I want you to heal him. I want you to bless him so that he can get up and walk. He's been hoping for something. He's been hoping for years. And he'll just walk over to somebody. But he will ask them, do you believe? Because if you don't have hope, you don't have faith. Okay, all is in the same recipe. So when the person says, yes, I believe, and he says what? Your faith, or because of your faith. You say your faith has done it, or because of your faith, pick up your bed and walk. Because you said yes. So it's the same thing when we go back to helping others regardless of where we are in our life. It's because we have hope. We have hope in Christ Jesus. We know that those things that he did, we can do, and even greater things. But where do we get caught? We get caught in the intro conversations. The enemy is trying to tie you down. He's trying to keep you busy. He will talk you into a state of depression if you listen to him. He's a fast talker. He's going to tell you what everybody thinks about you. He's going to tell you that you're not worth it. He's going to tell you, oh, it's going to be bad. Oh, if this doesn't happen in time, this is what's going to happen to you. And then all of a sudden, your blood pressure runs up, you're stressing out, and then, oh, you're just all in a tizzy, and you're crying, and you call out to God, oh, God, you said, oh, please, God, you got you. And God is like, really? Now, see, you done got all out of faith. You done got all out of hope. And I can't even help you right now. But when you get stuff together, and then we'll get our stuff together, and then we'll come back in the faith, and we'll talk the talk. He said he gonna do it, and this, that, and the other. And then the enemy come right back again to steal that thought. You know, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He come back and steal that. Oh no, you think you back on track? Well, let me show you something. And then he's gonna bring it back up again. And go, it's a constant battle. You know what I'm talking about? We do that in all situations, finances, health, relationships, jobs, just living in a community, just walking down the street. He can talk us out of hope. And where there's no hope, there's no faith. And there's certainly not going to be any substance. So I'm going to bring this back around to a topic, mothers and daughters helping others regardless of their needs. If you stayed in hope, if you really believed that God has it, then we wouldn't entertain these conversations. The minute they come, you would cut them down if you have to do it 100 times a day. No, no, no. I'm not entertaining that. No. I'm not getting into that conversation. No. And sometimes, before you know it, you're in it.
And you find yourself, you don't walk down the road a mile or two, and you, oh, my God, here we go again. No. You know, when people, when the Bible says a man will eat if he works, if he don't work, he don't eat, that's not physical work. That's mental work. That's the battle. That's why they tell you the battle is in the mind. It's not, your body is just going to do whatever you say in your mind. So you're fighting in your mind. You're fighting in intro conversation. You're trying to say no. And the enemy's got two or three people to talk to you. And once you get separate conversations going on in your intro conversations, man, I'm telling you, that will throw your whole body away. High blood pressure, depression, aches running up and down your body, nervous system all out of whack. Because you're overloading. You got too many things plugged into that one socket. It's 120 volt, and you're running 140, 160 out of it. Something's going to shut down. But what happens? The Holy Spirit comes in. Those who know the Holy Spirit comes in, and he will start talking to you and trying to pull you back. You go get the Bible and you read, and that's when you come back into space. That's that saving grace. Because if we didn't have those spaces, if we didn't have that time, that quiet time, that time to read our Bible, that time to talk to God, can you imagine if you were running full force with that energy and those conversations coming at you at 100 miles an hour? You would end up in a padded cell somewhere. Giving you a tablet, giving you a shot. But oh, because the word of God, it keeps bringing us back to the truth. It keeps bringing us back to the word, the unfailing word. It keeps bringing us back to hope. It said, keep my word before you. You keep my word before you. That's your buckle. That's your shield. Go to Psalms 91. Read Psalms 27. Read Psalms 1. Read Psalms 39. And Psalms 37. Those are the ones. Those are some songs that will keep you in a peaceful state. In a peaceful state. And when you're in a peaceful state, you can hear God. And when you can hear God, he's going to give you an assignment. He's going to ask you to do something. He's going to stretch you out. Because if it's not going to take some stretching, then you're not doing anything. If it's not going to take you thinking about, okay, you want me to give this person $50 and I have $51.50. And I was thinking about going to the store, getting some food for the weekend. You tell me to give this person $50. See, that's that bread. But at least you had a dollar and a half behind it. And then, you know, and if you're really smart, you can say, okay, God, I'm going to give them this $50. I got a dollar and a half. I'm going to go to Walmart and I'm going to get me 10 packs of Oodles and Noodles. And I'm going to eat this weekend. See? Now, you think God is not going to bless you when you use your creative mind to bless somebody else, when you agree to do his work and still know, oh, I got a dollar and a half. I can get me some Oodles and Noodles. I'm not going to starve, in other words. I could go on a fast. I could drink water all weekend. You're going to take care of me. And most people have something in their cabinets. Very few people you're going to go to and have empty cabinets. You just go in there and look. And you say, oh, I can take this and this and this. I'll make me a soup. I got some leftover vegetables in here. Creativity. But what? You have answered the call.
And because you did, and because you did it with a giving heart, see, it's not answering the call and just, oh, okay, well, let me just go and give a shh. Oh, Lord, but I did have some mess to do with that. But anyway, I'll just let them have it. That's not going to be a blessing to you. You can give it, but you're not going to receive anything from that. You're not. It's like Cain and Abel. See, it doesn't have to be the biggest. It just has to be the gift with the biggest joy, with the heart of giving and love. The lady that gave the two mites, they say, which I assume was two pennies, when everybody else was just putting big money into the donation pan, it was just putting money in, and Jesus just looking. Can you imagine Jesus watching everybody showing out? Yeah, you know, I'm going to put money in. They put money in there showing out just in case, you know, when somebody know I paid this and I paid that. See, that don't impress God. And this lady came and put 2 cents in there. Jesus saw it. And he told them, she gave greater than all of you. And you can imagine, what? Put $5,000 in there. I put $2,000. You know, can imagine. And you say she gave greater than anyone else? Yes. Because that's all she had. So when we are asked to help others, regardless of our needs, God is watching how you do it in your heart. And you can't be like Ananias and Sapphira, you know, when they went and lied to the Holy Spirit. Somehow or another, the Holy Spirit asked a group of people to donate, and they all agreed. And here come Ananias and Sapphira said, you know what, we're going to sell this land. But what we're going to do, we're not going to give them all that we make off the land. Because, see, first of all, no one asked them or told them exactly what they had to give. You say, I'm going to give this, then that's your word, regardless of your needs. So then they got home and got to thinking, we could sell that land for 100, let's just say, I'll just go $10,000. We could sell that land for $10,000. And back in those days, you know, $10,000, like $1 million. So, but we're not going to give them all of that. Why don't we do this? Why don't we just give them $5,000 and we'll keep $5,000 and then we'll invest that back into another piece of land. You agree? And she says, yes, I agree. He says, okay. Then he goes and says, now this is our story. When they ask us, how much do we get for the land? How much, what are you going to say? $5,000. Okay, that's what you're going to say. If they say that's all we got for the land, what are you going to say? Yes. Okay. An agreement. They go in there with their little story, trying to lie to the Holy Ghost, who knows all things. And that's what we do. When God asks us to do something, we try to act like God don't know what you got. You have nothing other than he knows that because he came to you. I don't care if you got that check from your boss. It came through God's will for you to have it. So they go in there and lie. And the minute her husband went in there first, they came in separately and asked him, when he made his donation, is that all that you got for the land? And he said, yes. gave him a chance to clean it up. Is that all? Yes. Well, because you lied, they take you out and bury you out front. They took them right on the outside, dig a hole, buried them right out front. So I can't. And then here she comes late looking for her husband. They ask her the same question because they're in agreeance. They already practiced. She told the same lie, dropped dead, buried her right beside him. When I first heard that story, that scared me straight. That scared me straight because the Holy Spirit is always listening. The Holy Spirit is always hearing. So when you think that you are being sick, and when you think that you're getting over on someone else, and you think nobody else knows, the Holy Spirit is watching you. You're not going to get by with it. Death may not come suddenly, but death will creep on your body and eat away at your organs and eat away at certain things. That's just my opinion on it. Whenever God asks you to do something, just do it. Okay, Cynthia?
Ma'am. Interesting dynamics and interesting discussion, Dr. Fletcher, when you were talking about, you know, the woman with Elijah. It was interesting that even she was going back and forth with Elijah about what it is that she had. Because she already had a made up mind as to what she was going to do. And so when we were asking when we're asked to do something by God, I thought about the fastball of a pitcher on a softball team. And that's it. The enemy is the pitcher in this case. And the batter is the one who's battling. Think about these things and how God asks you to do something. As soon as God asks you to do something, the enemy shows up with a fastball to try to discourage you from hitting that ball out of the park. You miss the first couple of balls. And you, the third one, when you make up your mind and do what God has asked you to do, you knock it right out of the park. And God shows up and give you the strength to do what, because you're determined to do what God has told you to do. God gives you the gifts, the play ball. And the enemy thinks he can knock to discourage you from being the best at what it is that God has, the gifts that God has given you. Because he comes to try to take the gifts that God has given you. And God has told you, you have this gift to do what I've instructed you to do, or the talent that I've given you. But the enemy always shows up and tries to throw a fastball. And that's why you're constantly telling our clients and our students, you got to mind your mind, because the enemy is just like that pitcher. He tries to throw you a fast one. You have to know that if you're being discouraged in your mind, that is not of God, and it is nobody but the enemy. And I, too, when I heard that story about Ananias and her husband, Ananias and Sapphira, it scared me straight. That thing scared me because I've never been big on lying anyway. Even omission of lying, if you're not telling the whole truth, you're lying. And so I'm real careful, and I'm real careful with my attitude, too, when God asks me to do something. Because like you said, it's all about the way you give that God is going to bless you. If you're regretful about that God has asked you to do, he may or may not bless you. And because God don't have no perspective of person, sometimes God will have mercy on you and do and bless you anyway. But because he's trying to get us to learn a lesson to trust him. And this couple of weeks ago, I think it was last week, not this week, I read that the there's no middle class in Scripture. They're either the ones, the haves and the have-nots, if you will. God, and the key word here, audience, is believer. Those who believe God, no matter what is going on in your life, and he asks you to do something, you better know that he's already prepared a way for you to do it. Don't worry about what you got in your hand. If he tells you to give up what you got in your hand, give it up, because he will honor you. And that's what the scripture said last week. It says the poor should be glad because God has honored them. God constantly shows up and do what he says he's going to do. And for those who are rich, the haves, he said that they should be humble because God, they should be glad because God has humbled them, because they give with an open hand. And when I read that, I was so blessed by reading that, because I know that it is all in the attitude that we have and the gratitude that we have that God continues to bless us. Whether you on the end of the haves or the have-nots, God has honored us. He put us in the best places. He gives us what we need when we need it, and we should be glad. And so when he asks us to do something, we should be even gladder to do that. And because the enemy is coming, he's going to throw you a fastball. But guess what? You have what it takes to do what God has asked you to do, because he's already provided it for you. It may look like you don't have enough, but if you just trust him, I declare you're going to just do what he asked you to do, and you're going to do it with gladness, because attitude and gratitude plays a huge part in you doing what God has asked you to do. And that's the blessing, and that's when he blesses us abundantly. And I just thank you, Father God, that you continue to bless us when we're obedient. That's my take on it. Thank you for allowing me to share.
All right. Amen. Whew. Yes, the fastball. And then they're out there playing ball. No, that's trickery. Thank you, Cynthia. Deborah.
I tell you, boy, it is a beautiful thing to be in the Lord, because when you first opened up, Dr. B, and you said you was talking about, you know, people saying, I don't want to give because I'm needy. I'm in need. And I was just listening to the pastor. Man, I never seen before, but today I was trying something different. And so I was searching, you know, I said, let me praise and worship. Let me turn the music on. Let me praise and worship. Let me switch it up a little bit. Anyway, found this man, never seen before, what the message was, when God hides you. When God hides you. And so he was saying, people say, when other people get blessed, and, you know, you clapping and everything, and in your heart, you saying, well, when is going to be my time, God? When I'm going to get mine? And he done got the elevation and the promotion, and this person and got whatever it is that they celebrating. And in your heart, you secretly saying, what about me, God? You know, I supposed to be excited about them. What about me, God? So I just want to bring it on in. You know, if you in the body of Christ and your foot benefits, you benefit too, because you the body. You might be the hand, or you might be the neck or the arm. But if the feet benefit, you benefit too. God is saying he wants to have a mind that we celebrate other people. He said, because if you can celebrate them, if you can be faithful when somebody give you a job and you can do right on their job, I'll bless you with your own business. But if you ain't right with the part that I gave you up under somebody else, why should I bless you with more? So in other words, he's saying, if I give you a little like the lady and you do the right thing with it, you will be blessed more than you would have had you not did the right thing with it. So God is calling us to be faithful when we have a little. And I was looking up some stuff, and it says, I believe Bishop Jake quote this, it looked like he said this. He says, you reap what you sow. Whatever you need more of in life, give it away. So we want to talk about sowing.
because sown becomes before reap. So you got to put it in the ground. You got to take whatever you need. If it's more love, you got to plant love. If it's more peace, you got to plant peace. If it's financial, you got to plant. You got to put it in the ground. You got to sacrifice something to get the thing to grow. God said it's up to you. If you plant it, I'll multiply. But if you ain't willing to put nothing in the ground, don't go looking out there in the garden looking for apples and all the oranges and whatever fruit you think you want or whatever increase you're looking for if you ain't put nothing in the ground. He said, because I'm gonna bless you according to your blessed behavior or your blessed action or your mindset or what you believe that I'm capable of doing. He said, if you ain't planting nothing, don't go looking for nothing. That's just like in the natural. You got a little garden, you out there looking for oranges, ain't putting damn seed in the ground, but you're looking for something to pop up. God said, what you looking for? You ain't putting nothing down. Because there's a two-part thing. You put I prosper. But if you ain't putting nothing there, I can't work with what you ain't putting there. You ain't got no faith, you ain't believing, I can't go and do what I said I'm going to do. My word is my word. My word will not go out void. It will accomplish that thing which I sent it to accomplish. But if you ain't believing that I'm able to do the thing, why you keep coming and saying, God, can you? But in your heart, you don't even believe that I'm capable of being God. So he said, why should I bless you when you don't even have faith for the blessing? Why are you looking for stuff you ain't participating in the process? He said, plant. He said, put it on the ground. Let me bless it. Because blessed come before blessing. Take your blessed seed and plant it. And you'll see the blessing. You'll see the fruit of what you put in, the seed. Kindness, like I say, it don't have to be material or finance. It could be if you need more peace. He says start being a peacemaker. Start being about bringing peace where you go. Start being the one that, you know, give what you're looking for. If you need love, plant love. He said, because you can't be asking for love and you're full of hate. You can't ask for peace and you're full of confusion and distractions and drama. He said, if you want the thing, I need you to orchestrate it first. He said, because I'm only going to move based on what you do. Now, the ball is in your court. You can either bounce it, you can pass it, or whatever you do. But based on how you do what you do with what it is that you're asking me for, that's how you're going to receive it. So if you ain't making no move to plant nothing, to move nothing, to try to be faithful, believing that I'm able, it's just not going to happen. So some people say, well, I'm going to be blessed. Because you're probably getting carried on somebody else's blessing. Somebody else going to pray for you. And God is saying that there's things you're going to get the basic blessing, but there's more blessings that will overtake you. He said, I will open up a window and pour out a blessing that you won't even have room to receive. And I remember this story. I'm going to say this and be done. That I was praying to God about 20 years ago. I didn't have a wardrobe. I was just starting out, you know, and I needed some church clothes. And I would go to church every Sunday and Thursday, and I had that same black dress on every Sunday. I'll watch it, and I'll wear it, and I'll just go, and I'll cry, and I'll just praise God and pay my tithes and my offering, and I'll be back whatever God wanted me to be back. And I tell you no lie, a friend of mine called me over because I started praying for more dresses, praying for money to get clothes because it was just from check to check. And, you know, but I was giving God heals. And so the lady called me over to her house. She said, I want you to come to my house. I got some clothes for you. And so I said, okay. She said, I got some clothes for you. Come over there. So I got over there. You know, I was in my mind. I know she always had nice stuff. And, you know, we were the same size. She had got sick and started swelling up and couldn't wear the stuff no more. And I tell you no lie. That lady gave me about 22 suits, tailor-made. I had every color, two-piece skirt, suits. every color, couple dresses in there, but they were suits. I had pink, yellow, white, blue, green, lime, orange. And I remember taking it, and she kept saying, no, get that too. And I was trying to be modest. And I said, no, this is good. She kept saying, well, take that too. And then I had so much that I took it in my car, and when I got home, I said to myself, where am I going to store this stuff? I don't even have room for it. You see, God had done blessed me. Well, I even have room to store the blessing. And that's what he's saying to us. If you could just take that little bit of flour, that little bit of meal that the lady took, and let me take it and multiply it. Because the lady said, we finna eat, me and my son, or we gonna die. That was her mindset. I'm gonna die on a full stomach. Me and my son going out full. We gonna go on and die. But the man of God said, if you just do what I ask you to do, you and your son won't die. But you'll have more than enough that you won't have room to store it. And that's the message for me saying, God is saying, if you can just take a little bit of what you got and plant it and have faith that I'm going to do the rest. He said, but you got to plant something. You got to sacrifice. You can't have a mentality that what about me? I can't give because I don't have. What about me? But there's areas that you can give, love and peace. And there's things that you can give. But God said, if you think that you can work it with a little bit, okay, well, how about putting it in my hands and watch me work it so it overruns your cup? He says that if you can trust me to be your fertilizer, I will fertilize that seed that you will put in good soil, and then I will allow you to reap the benefits of what you plant. Not let somebody else reap the benefits. He said, if you plant, if you sow, you'll reap. He ain't saying if you sow, somebody else is going to reap your blessing. He said, don't worry about that. If you put it in the ground, if you put it in the ground, and you trust me to be your fertilizer, your multiplier, your increase. He said, I got you. I'm God. I don't lie. I'm not like man. He said, I ain't like y'all. Be wishy-washy and in and out. He said, no. I'm God. Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Jehovah the hills. I'm that God. I am what you need me to be. He said, tell him, Moses, that I am such you. I am what? I am whatever you need me to be. He said, it's about you believing. Do you believe that I'm able to do the thing that you asked me to do? Don't come to me like the ocean, the waves, and the water, and in and out, and up and down, and not stable. He said, I need you to believe that I'm able. He said, because you know that I know you. Maybe nobody else don't know you, but I know you. I know the hairs on your head. I know every thought that you have before you think it. I know the condition of your heart. I know what you really, really feel. You might can hide from man, but I know you. And you know I know if you believe in me. So you can't outslick me. You can't outsmart me because I know. Just tell me, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe, but there's a speck of proof that ain't there. Help me, Lord.
Amen.
So I said, if you can trust me, the plant, I'll be your fertilizer. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, can somebody pass the plate, please? That was the word. We have delivered the word. And the good news is we are doing it regardless of our needs. We deliver what God has placed on our hearts. And I thank you, ladies. This next day should be a blessing in years to come. Because people are going to realize it's not God that's not doing. It's you that's not doing. As Deborah say, you do what you're supposed to do, and God will add the increase. But
Amen. You
have to have hope. You got to have hope to know that faith is the things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. You may not see it, but you believe it. And if you believe it, you shall receive it. Ladies, good show.
Amen.
Happy
Amen.
Right
Praise
back.
The Lord.
Be
Amen.
Right.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, ladies, what a wonderful show. Mothers and daughters out there, we thank you. Thank you for joining in. Thank you for coming back and listening. It's always the ones that come back and we see you. We just want to say this morning, thank you. We appreciate you taking time out and coming back and checking out and seeing what the Lord has said. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you, Cynthia. It's been an excellent show. I appreciate
you. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, ladies. Love you. Love your audience.
And all you, just in case you missed it, the word is bless others before you look for the blessing.
Amen.
Amen.
God be the glory. All right.
Amen.
Talk to you all later.
Thank you, Deborah.
Bye-bye.
That was amazing. Awesome. That was an amazing
Whoa.
Analogy. Good job, sis.
Yeah. All
Praise
right.
the Lord. That was God. I didn't have all that.
Amen. Yeah, yeah, but he used you.
Amen.
But I'm just saying to myself,
you,
okay, well, we read it now. She's getting ready to go out to preach. That came up in my spirit. So we better talk to the Lord. We're going to have this conversation on the side. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Love y'all. Bye.